At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.
Have you ever gotten really upset about something? Something that had absolutely nothing to do with you, and then you woke up one day and you decided, I'm going to do something about it?
Not often. I find that it's not healthy for me to get like obsessed or centered on something.
Yep.
So I just kind of do the blinders on to the rest of the world type thing. But What happened?
So there's been something that I've been witnessing happen, and you probably have witnessed it too. And I haven't said anything because truthfully, it's got nothing to do with me.
None of your business.
Exactly. But something big happened in my garage at my apartment building, and I watched it all go down. It was so infuriating that I was like, I have to talk about this because I have to say it's not fair that people are doing this.
Okay, what took place?
So we have assigned spots in the apartment building where we're temporarily living, and people fly in there. They go, it's like six stories high. Mm-hmm. They fly around the corners. It's tight. It's not safe. I don't like it one bit.
Yeah.
And it's one thing I've noticed is that the people that are driving recklessly are not the people that live there. It's guests and other people.
Delivery types, that type of stuff.
People don't belong there. So this one car flies in and flies into a spot. Now, you know, I don't get involved. I don't say a thing. I don't like confrontation. I don't like drama. But a woman who was parked a few spots down from me gets out and she says to the guy, like, what are you doing? There's pets and there's children here and you're flying into this spot. You don't even live there because we could see because you have like the tag that you have to have.
Okay.
And he gets out of the car super aggressive and he starts yelling at her and calling her a Karen. And I'm thinking in my head, this has been bothering me. I don't like the Karen thing. I don't like people calling people Karens. I feel bad for people's that real name are Karen, even though that's not my name.
Yeah.
I feel like everybody's like, oh, I got to speak to the manager. Oh, you're a Karen. And it just seems so ridiculous in such a way to insult somebody. And she's right.
Yeah.
Like, why are you driving like that? Why are you acting like that?
Yeah, well, I mean, if she wasn't right, that would be one thing, right? Mm-hmm. If there's somebody that's just getting in somebody else's business and there's no call for it, then, you know, it's just another tag to put on somebody. It's a name that would be discriminatory, but it's not because It's just a regular name, right?
It's not fair.
That's what made it funny at first.
Correct.
Right? Now, to always kick back on that, when you're actually exerting bad behavior, that's not cool, right? It doesn't get you a get out of jail free card because you said something that's topically funny at the moment, right?
Right.
I mean, if you're still the jerk that's driving like an idiot through the garage, you're still in the wrong.
And I just keep seeing these stories and I keep watching these videos, these viral TikToks and everything. And they're just throwing around the word Karen. And I just feel bad for people's names that are Karen. And I just feel really, really bad for them.
It's a trigger thing. So when somebody's doing something bad and they use a trigger like that or whatever, they're hoping the other person's behavior will get so deplorable that they'll still end up looking like they were okay.
We have a rule in my house. I had to tell my 14-year-old that she tried to call me a Karen one time and I almost went after her. I said, we don't use that. As far as I'm concerned, it's just as much of a bad word as all the other bad words.
Yes.
And we treat people with respect. And I think that's something we should share because I'm over it and I feel bad for all these Karens.
Let's get to the real juicy part of this. Did you get a photo of their license plate so we can publicly shame them?
Yes.
Nice.
A lot of women have been shaving their face. There's special tools for it. You probably see it all over CVS right now. Is it the best option? Dr. Christine Blaine is one of New York City's top plastic surgeons. You can find her online at blaineplasticsurgery.com. Everybody I know has kind of cut down on their waxing because they've been using these razors that you can find now everywhere, face razors for women. The big rumor that I kept reading about on Instagram and TikTok and you've heard your entire life is that when you shave...
Oh, it's coming back.
It's coming back thicker. It's coming back more. And is that true for women's faces and their mustaches?
So we all know there's multiple ways to get rid of facial hair, laser removal, waxing. Laser hair removal only works if you have darker hair because it's the melanin or the pigment in the hair follicle that gets zapped by the laser. So if you have blonde hair, not going to work. Gray hair, not going to work. As far as the razor, what we do in a cosmetic setting is we use an actual surgical blade. It's called dermaplaning. This gets all the dead skin and the fine hairs off your face. As far as the ones in the store, I'm not really sure if it's just a plain old razor for the face, but regardless, your hair doesn't grow back thicker or more quickly if you do this. I don't know how safe it is to do it yourself, and I don't find that women have the same needs as men to shave their face. I recommend people do it with caution, just because you can hurt yourself, just like if you shave your legs, you can cut yourself. Truthfully, you should probably do it by a professional who's doing it not for just the reason of the hair removal, but also for getting your skin to a better place.
So, doctor, you're telling me that the hair is not getting coarser or wider?
I've been doing dermaplaning to my face for years, and I'm Italian. Don't have coarse hair, don't have thicker hair. So that, too, is also a fallacy. It doesn't make it coarser or thicker or anything.
I think a lot of young girls have a lot of insecurities about like hair like this and removal. And at what age is the appropriate age to start laser hair removal?
So it's recommended you really don't do much of this before you're 16, but it does depend on when you hit puberty. If you've reached puberty, you're not changing much anymore. As long as it's been a full year without a lot of changes, it's okay to do. With acne, which is another problem that a lot of young girls have that can affect their overall self-confidence, we now have a laser that can treat acne, and there's no limit to what age we can treat them at. So this might be even better for them to worry about the acne portion of it than the hair, or you can just do dermaplaning.
How many sessions do you think you need to fully get hair removal if you're doing the lasers?
It's usually about six.
Six.
And you might need a touch-up down the line, depending on your hair, like maybe once a year.
Dr. Christine Blaine, you can find her online at blainplasticsurgery.com.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 It's like group therapy. You just have to fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. What is driving you nuts right now? 1-800-330-9999. Afril, that's all I need to know about you.
So if you don't use punctuation at all in your emails, that's all I need to know about you.
You ever get a work email that's filled with grammatical errors and you're just like, how did they send this?
Yeah. When I get an email in business or whatever, or somebody's complaining to me, they don't use capitalization or punctuation in the right spots. I say to myself, this is somebody that's been drinking, that's hitting their speak text thing right now, and they're putting on a little show. Right. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They're either in front of their friends or their partner or their mirror or whatever, and they think that they are just dictating and telling the world how it's going to be. But I can't take it seriously if you don't understand that there's a capital at the beginning of a name or the beginning of a sentence. I can't do it.
But I do have to say, Raven, you know that I'm very comfortable with you, and I like really have a lot of respect for you and think I know you well enough.
Here we go.
If I send something like that's voice to text,
yes,
or has grammatical errors, because if it's anybody that I don't feel 100% comfortable with, I would never let that slide. So
no.
If it comes to you like that, you know that like we're cool.
Right.
Right?
Exactly. And if you're a client and you send that, then we're definitely not going to be cool.
Jason, that's all I need to know about you.
If you're a really picky eater, that is all I need to know about you.
Is it okay if you're really in shape? If you're in shape, I feel like you get to demand whatever you need to eat, right? Like a scientist, almost. Because that's part of being in shape.
I guess so, but I don't know, man. I dated this girl, and she was so picky. We couldn't go anywhere. We couldn't eat anything. She was complaining about everything. She was sending stuff back. It was like, it was embarrassing, man. I had to break up with her.
Yeah, no, I get it. My wife is picky, but she'll eat anywhere. It won't detract her from trying to go eat somewhere.
Well, it's true, because I feel like you could always find something on the menu that you can eat. So, like, when you say, like, I'm not going, that there's nothing there I can eat, like, that's a problem.
When you're super specific, I mean, I feel like they ought to be able to get it right, especially when it's simple. There's nothing worse than you're at the place and you know that they're going to say out something that's, you know, particular in that order and nobody's writing it down. You're like, oh, God. You just know where it's going. Why are you doing this to us?
We'd be out with friends and like we couldn't, you know, share stuff because she would just like throw a fit, you know?
Well, I'm cool with that. I don't want anybody touching my food anyway. Forget it. No shares.
Zach, that's all I need to know about you.
If you're constantly on your phone and then when I text you, you don't respond, that's all I need to know about you.
Well, that is me. If you see me in public, my phone is probably out in my hand. Not that I'm ignoring people or whatever. But, like, I'm just looking at figuring out what it is I have to do and where I'm going and all that stuff. And when I get a text message right at that moment, I don't even look.
So weird.
If it's a good friend, if it's not an emergency or whatever, if I don't see I'm bleeding in the first line, you know how you get that little, like, peak screen?
Yeah.
If I don't see it right there, forget it. I hope you're not on the side of the road, buddy.
Yeah, but there's certain friends that you have that you know when you text, you will have an immediate response. And then there's other friends that you text that you're not surprised if it takes them a day or two to respond.
They can absorb it, consider what it means for them.
Lately, I've been getting more lackadaisical. I used to be like the instantaneous responder. And now I'll like get up in the middle of the night and be like, I didn't answer Danielle. And I'll like go into my phone and text like in the middle of the night because it bothers me that I didn't. It's very strange. What was the worst car you ever had and why? 1-800-330-9999. All right, Raven, worst cars of all time, according to the internet. You ready?
Go.
Number three, the Ford Pinto. When it got rear-ended, it tended to burst into flames.
I mean, yeah, but everybody had one for a minute, or everybody's mom or auntie had one. They were cool cars.
Number two, a car I never heard of, the Austin Allegro. The front axle would collapse, and it had a rectangle steering wheel.
I mean, that seems weird. Yeah, and not a good choice.
And number one, according to this list, that I thought was really surprising, was the 1978 Cadillac sedan DeVille, which allegedly got 6 miles to the gallon. I'm pretty sure my mom had one of these and loved it.
Yeah. Well, back then, you know, gas was like 57 cents a gallon, right? So you were just like, I'm flaunting it. I'm feeling good. The original American big car.
You know, they asked, what makes a car bad? And a lot of people said if there's like mismatched body panels or worn out tires. Yeah, probably because you'll die if you have bald tires.
It's not going to handle well, right? It's not going to, you know, make its way down the road safely, frankly.
Mm-hmm. Or the check engine light is always on.
Oh,
yeah.
That's the worst.
Everybody had a car like that at some point.
Yeah, I mean, you just ignore it for like 3 years straight. Meanwhile, if you just change the air filter and the spark plugs, you might get rid of that thing.
Jessica, what was the worst car you ever had?
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so in high school, I had a crush on this guy, and he had a Volkswagen Jetta. So I get to college. I'm like, I need a car. I buy a used Volkswagen Jetta. Worst decision of my whole entire life. That car was like falling apart every other month. I had to take it in, get something fixed. They have to fly it in from Germany. Everything is so expensive. It was like the biggest money pit in my life.
Sometimes there's a car that you're hot for a reason you can't explain, and it immediately becomes that.
Ironically, you use the word hot for, Raven. Paul, my husband, had a Jetta before we got married, when we were just dating at that time.
Yeah,
we were young. And I remember we were driving home from dinner one night, and he was like, oh, he's like, my butt seat is so hot. It's so hot. And I was like, well, turn it off. Right. So he turned it off, and he's like, no, it's still so hot. So we got back to school. We were in college at the time, and we got out. It burned a hole through the seat into his wallet.
Wait a minute. So
it was a ring. The heat seater caught on fire.
So seat heater.
The seat heater.
Yeah.
Through the leather. Right. Or pleather, whatever it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. And luckily, it was where his back wallet was on his butt.
Oh, saved him.
It saved his butt from being on fire.
Saved his life.
A ring on the wallet through his pants.
Oh, too bad you couldn't call AAA at that point because the card was melted.
I sent it. So we brought the car, and I'm thinking in my head, we're rich.
Yeah, look at this.
No, they just like fixed it, and that was it. I was
we're
like, that's
rich.
It?
What? You thought you were going to file a claim for the seat heater?
I don't know what, you know, I was 20 years old. I thought they were going to look at the car and be like, oh my gosh, here's a bucket of money. We're sorry, we don't want to put you on fire.
I mean, the only way that would have happened is if the seat heater had actually killed Paul.
Right.
So good thing you got the different result. Wow. I mean, you guys were in college. That's a long time ago.
I know.
Like, I mean, I have heated seats now. I didn't have them 15 years ago. Wow. I need a Jetta.
You too.
Who knows what's in there now?
Not even like a restaurant gift card. Sorry, we almost lit you on fire. Nothing.
Right, nothing.
They were like, all right, we'll fix it. What was the worst car you ever had? 1-800-330-9999. David wrote a 1978 Chevette on our Facebook page. It had a huge hole in the floorboard. How do you drive that car?
Like Fred Flintstone?
I guess so.
I used to have a Honda that had a piece of wire through the front grill. Mm. That was how you opened the hood.
Georgianne wrote, a Dodge Dart Swinger had no reverse. Had to open the driver door, put your foot out, and push it out of the spot. It was a great leg exercise. How is that real?
Park on a hill.
Lou, worst car you ever had?
It was my first car, and it was a Honda CRV, like $2,000, because it was super, 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 super old. The dude assured me that it ran great, but my window totally broke. It wouldn't roll down. So this was back when you had to like put money into tolls and you didn't have like an iPass or whatever. So I had to literally recline the seat and chuck my money in from the back window.
I had a car like that.
Hoping. It was bad.
Yeah, my car, it would either, there was getting water in the switches or something in the door, but from time to time, the window would not open, but you would never know until that day. And so you'd be pulling up to a thing and you never knew as the driver whether you were going to have to lean back or you would be able to, you would just get lucky that time. The other thing was, is sometimes you'd get lucky, the window would come down, but it wouldn't go back up.
Yeah.
So now it's January and you're driving down the road and you're dying. Mm-hmm. Kept things interesting.
Jasmine, worst car you ever owned?
I bought a 1998 Mercedes off of Craigslist for $2,000.
You thought it was going to be awesome.
But I always wanted a Mercedes, and they're expensive, and I couldn't, you know, afford, but I saw one on Craigslist, and it looked really good. Like, the outside was actually, like, in great condition, but everything was broken on the car, and the parts were, like, super expensive because it was a Mercedes. It was so bad that I couldn't get in. The driver's side handle broke on the car, so I couldn't get in. So I had to go around to the passenger side and, like, crawl through to open the door for myself and, like, get back out of the car and go back in the driver's side.
That's a lot.
It's a lot easier for girls. I'll just say that.
When the kids were babies, I ended up, after a while, just riding in the back with them instead of sitting in the front when my husband was driving, just because I was so sick of always driving on highways and having to climb in the middle and my butt and my husband's face.
Right.
The baby's crying and you can't see anything because they're rear facing. And
you knew it was
going
to happen inevitably. Oh. So you just planned ahead and said, you know what?
Now I sit in the back.
Let me take that out of it. Right.
Yeah. And you know what? My husband liked it. I think he liked not having me in the back and not having me in the front with him.
Give him a little separation.
Yeah. Octavius, worst car you ever had?
Yeah, when I was a teenager, I spent $800 on a used Pontiac Aztec.
Oh, my
remember
gosh.
That one?
Yes.
It was if you remember, it was the SUV that Walter White drove on Breaking Bad. It was like real, the ugliest car ever made. The Pontiac Aztec was like a boxy, weird, angled SUV, but I was a teenager and I needed something, and I was like, this looks like fun. And the next thing I knew, like, big hunks of plastic are falling off, the thing's dying in the middle of the road. It was awful.
They only made that car for 4 years. I just Googled it.
Yeah, you know what? I remember the first time I saw one, though. I was like, what the heck is that? I thought it might be cool.
That's what I thought, and then I realized it was not cool.
I mean, it looks fine. It's like a regular crossover SUV, it looks like.
Until you have to drive it. And you can't get up a hill and the bumper's falling off.
And his app typically sounds like a positive, happy-go-lucky mom, but not always.
Deep, dark thoughts or a sounding board for the typically insane mom? Most people keep their diary to themselves.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Not Anna Zapp.
Dear Diary, 'tis the season for strawberry picking, and it always sounds like such a family fun activity. Get the kids outside, away from their iPads. What could possibly go wrong? Turns out, even though I don't buy strawberries unless they're on sale at the grocery store for less than $5, it costs $18 for one small handheld basket. And of course, both my daughters want their own baskets because, God forbid, we have to share anything, including mountains of strawberries. So now, I won't pay $6 for the plastic containers at the store, but sure, let's pay $36 here where we have to go do all the work ourselves. That makes perfect sense. Immediately, when we get out of the car, my 4-year-old declares that she has to go potty because farms are known for having great bathroom facilities. And as we make our way to the porta potties, I notice that it is about 16,000 degrees. Now, this is problematic because I chose to wear jeans today, you know, like the farmers do. You never see a farmer wearing athletic dry wick shorts. And as I cram myself and my daughter into the porta potty, she immediately does this.
I got the sunglasses in the porta potty.
Yep. She drops her Little Mermaid sunglasses right in the porta potty. Now, needless to say, Ariel will continue to live under the sea forever. Now, as she recovers from her inevitable meltdown from the loss of her sunglasses, we head to the fields. And as the sun is beating down on us, I learn that strawberry plants are on the ground. Now, maybe you knew that. I did not. And although the toddlers have no problem dropping to their knees to the floor, I make noises like this every time I bend over.
Oh, ah. Now, I finally decide it's probably easier for me as a grown adult just to crawl from one area to another. Now, between the screaming at our small children to stop putting the strawberries in their mouths and then spitting them onto the ground and dodging bees like ninjas, we gather the strawberries. Then it dawns on me as the sweat is pouring down our faces that I don't have any water, and I realize this is a do-or-die situation. No longer are we looking for the biggest red juicy strawberries. Now we gotta fill these baskets so we can continue to live and get out of here. At one point, I question whether I'm hallucinating. And then I realize, no, the kids are throwing strawberries at my face. I decide, we're done with this family fun activity. Everybody get in the car. We just have to make one stop on the way home. Costco. And then my daughter immediately points out,
Mom, these look way better than the ones we got.
And yes, their juicy large strawberries are on sale for $4.99 for 2 pounds. And for the last couple days, I've been shoving strawberries down everybody's throat because the farm says they're only good for 2 to 3 days. But the memories, oh, the memories we made. Until next time, Diary, Anna. Remember when quiet quitting was a thing? Or I guess it still is a thing where you kind of do the bare minimum at your job, but you mentally give yourself a break from trying to overachieve.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's always been there, right? But we didn't have a term for it until after the pandemic, essentially. People came back to the office and they were like, that's cool, just quiet quit.
It's actually a lot of controversy around quiet quitting because they're like, it's not quitting. It's just doing what you're paid to do. Like, why do we have this culture where we have to go above and beyond to prove ourselves when that's not what we're getting paid to do?
Oh, I yearn for the time that humans actually had ambition.
It doesn't matter because that's not what the newest trend is.
Okay.
The newest trend right now is live quitting. Now, this is something that I'm not sure is a good idea.
Okay, what's that?
All right, so it's a new trend with Gen Z, and what they're doing is they film themselves quitting their jobs, and then they post the videos on social media. So here's an example of a woman doing it.
Hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Or not?
I can't say it. I don't know how to say it.
I know. I knew it was coming when you said that.
I'm going to cry.
It's, look, if it's what you feel like you need to do, then I totally get it. We will be so sad and we'll miss you. But I'm excited for you and you'll do awesome.
Like, I don't understand. Like, you just film yourself quitting your job and then you post it to social media.
I mean, and everybody is being so nice to each other. I mean, if you want to make it interesting, like, make it interesting.
Well,
that's what I say.
Well, speaking of making it interesting, that was a normal live quit, right?
Yeah.
Like, so like, it's like probably a normal conversation you would have with your boss that you probably have some respect for that you're sad to leave
sure.
your job. But
right.
then there's this woman who quit Walmart.
My name is Beth from Electronics. I've been working at Walmart for almost 5 years, and I can say that everyone here is overworked and underpaid.
She goes on for about 5 minutes, says a lot of swear words, and at the end quits.
She's on the PA system, isn't she?
Yes, she is.
Yeah, that's a thing that I've seen at a store before, too. I've actually been witness to somebody quitting before in a store like that.
Really?
Yeah, and it's all the same. It starts with, you know, saying something like that, and then there's a lot of swearing, and then they leave. And, you know, it's almost like they expect everybody to kind of get up and walk out with them.
Like in Jerry Maguire?
Yeah, except nobody leaves. Leaves with them like Jerry Maguire,
or everybody just starts clapping.
Yeah.
Yes,
yes.
In what aisle is the vegetable oil?
And immediately somebody's in the supervisor's ear. They're just like, "Well, who's gonna get her shift? Right? Who's gonna get that? Because somebody always needs the money more than you, I guess. Right?
Have you ever live quit a job, like in front of people in public, like say, like I'm out of here. Posted it, anything like that?
I mean, I've quit a job before, and I've done it face to face. I mean, I remember when I first got out of high school, I went into a tech school. So, you know, I was doing construction essentially, and I was working in January in a very cold area off a harbor, putting in stacked ductwork, and it was raining. The water was coming down the stacked ductwork, and everything was like instantly freezing when it hit you.
Yeah.
And I instantly just turned to the guy after being on there the shift that day, and I had been doing it for weeks. I just turned to him and I said, there's got to be a better way, man. I said, I'm out of here. And I went back to college. I was like, I got to go right now. And nobody even faulted. There was just a quiet sadness as I left the break area down and away. Like, all the guys would gather near the gang boxes and eat their, you know, their breakfast or whatever. And I just left. And, you know, half of them are like punk and the other half are just like, God, I wish I could be him. I wish I could go right now.
Now, imagine if you filmed that, posted it on social media, and then every job going forward for the rest of your life would refer back to that video
right.
the way you quit. I don't know. Something you might want to keep in the back of your mind.
I would think.
Why is it trending? Top news stories trending and why. Today, all about two big pop stars. First, like, the queen of pop star, the OG Madonna. She's postponing her tour. Here's why.
This apparently happened on Saturday when Madonna, who is 64 years old, came down with what has been called this serious bacterial infection. That word comes from her agent. He says that she spent several days in the ICU. The good news tonight is that she is recovering.
But all her tour dates have been postponed indefinitely, so we don't know what's going to happen.
It's interesting, right, the way they're presenting it, that he said, the agent said this, and like there's no release from like a hospital or a doctor, you know. Typically, like, it's the president. They get the doctor out there on TV, right? He's got a cough. He's going
to
live.
I don't know. Maybe she doesn't want to talk about it. So, like, I listened to a bunch of doctors talk about it because that's what all the news people did last night. Is everyone. So they said normally when they say a bacterial infection, it's like a UTI or something like that.
Staph or something, right?
Yeah, but because they're saying it's serious, that it might be sepsis, which I know nothing about. And I'm not going to pretend like I do. Yeah. So it might be something more along that lines. The good news is she's going to make a full recovery and her tour isn't canceled. It's just postponed.
I got to tell you something. So before this news broke, I was randomly looking at Madonna tickets yesterday, you know, because I got an email from my credit card company or something. They're like, there's still access. So I looked it up for a show that was a midweek show in a city where she's doing multiple dates. And, you know, they've got the authorized resellers. Mm-hmm. It was $3,000 per ticket. $3,000.
If you have tickets to Madonna, like, this is like a bummer. So I used to go to all Madonna shows. I'm going to be honest. The last show was so bad. It was so bad that I was like, I'm done.
Can't
like,
do it this
I don't
time.
Want to, like, it's yeah. not worth the money to me to go see her again. And I was going to skip this altogether, even though this should be all the hits.
All the hits.
So the question is like, well, when is she postponing it to? What if you have these tickets? What if, I don't know. Well, yeah. I guess we'll wait and see as more information comes out.
Sure.
Yeah. Also trending, speaking of pop stars, Pink. Now, Pink is on tour, and a very strange thing keeps happening at her shows. So she was performing this on stage. Now, what you can't see is while she's performing that, somebody is handing her a giant wheel of brie cheese.
What?
A giant wheel
what?
Of brie cheese.
I love cheese. What's the significance of the brie cheese?
I don't know. I mean, she was in France. Maybe that's why. I don't know.
Is it expensive? Is it like getting a wheel of Parmesan where, like, you know, it's big bucks if it's legit?
The brie is expensive. So, I mean, she took the brie and she was happy. I guess it's better than what another person in the audience gave to her. The night before, they threw a bag that had some gray dust on it up on stage. Listen to her say this, if you can make it out.
Is this your mom? I don't know how you feel about this.
Is this your mom? I don't know how you feel about this, how I feel about this. Somebody threw their mom's ashes up on the stage, like in a bag.
I don't know.
And Pink picks it up. And you can tell she doesn't know what to do.
Right.
And so she says, I don't know how I feel about it. She just puts it down in front of a speaker.
Well, that's what I would do.
And just continues on the way.
Yeah, you know, you don't want to pour it out. You don't want to spread the ashes here at the Coliseum.
Like, what?
Seems strange. And if I get hit with ashes and I'm in the front row, I'm suing somebody.
Like, just like, why? Why would you put that poor woman in that position? She just wants to sing her songs. Like, she doesn't want to be involved in that.
Very, very awkward.
Yes. What was your unintended destination? You set off to go one place, but then you landed or ended up in a different one.
I mean, I feel like just saying this out loud, I'm jinxing myself. I have never had to divert to another city. I've been delayed for hours.
Yeah.
You know, knock on something. I've been on the tarmac for hours. I've had flights canceled. All of them are miserable experiences, but I've never ended up in another city.
Going into the 4th of July week, and there are a lot of cancellations,
already.
Delays. It's crazy the amount across the country. And this happened to my husband. He flies a lot for work, and he got diverted. They tried to land three times. So they went to go down to land. Mm-hmm. And then last minute, they like,
pulled
and they go
up.
Right back up.
Yeah.
And finally, they said, it's too much fog. We can't land. We're diverting you to a different airport that was 2.5 hours away by car from the other airport. And then he called me and I was like, I'm not coming to get you. Like, what do you, like, you got an Uber home. Like, just charge it to the company. What?
It was a Friday or Saturday night. I mean, you had to think that you were going to spend some time with your friends.
I had, like, my friends coming over. I had wine. I was like, you can figure out how to get home. Like, it's all right.
Wow.
And what was your, so it sounds mean when you say it out loud.
It does.
But you know what I mean.
Feels worse if you're him when you're living it. Yeah.
It's one thing if I knew that the company wasn't going to be able to expense it. But, like, what, just because you want to see me on a Friday night, you want me to drive 2.5 hours? You'll be home soon. All right. When did you set off for one place, but you end up in another, your unintended destination? 1-800-330-9999. Diana.
Okay. So I was on a cross-country flight, Las Vegas to Philadelphia, literally almost in Philly. Like, we were flying over Pennsylvania, and I don't know what happened, but they were like, hey, we can't land. We have to turn back. So we ended up landing in Detroit. And it was like, I don't know, 9:30 p.m. Like, nothing was open at the airport. I was so hungry. Ended up, like, I had to buy, like, an $8 PB&J from the Detroit airport and sit there for 3 hours.
3 hours is not bad.
No. I mean, I've been on a floor longer than that. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Man, but you'd think Detroit would have something open at the airport. I need some food.
Yeah.
I hate it when an airport is, like, shut down. When you land at an airport that there's, like, nobody there and it's, like, 11 o'clock at night, it's jarring. It's weird. You feel like something's wrong with the world.
It's scary, and I was by myself.
Heather, where was your flight diverted to, your unintended destination?
We were on our way to Miami. Couldn't land because of a storm, and so we wound up in Orlando. And I have never been to Disney World, so we decided, like, let's just stay here for a couple days, rent a car, and drive to Miami. And it was so much fun. And, like, we were just planning to go to the beach and stuff. Next time, I'm actually maybe going to plan to go to Disney and go to Orlando because I just felt like I was, like, a kid again. It was so much fun.
I mean, that's making lemonade out of lemons. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I almost got caught up there while you were making it.
I was trying to remember what it was. Yeah.
You know, these are some of those fun adventures that you see from time to time. Like, you know, strangers, their flight gets, you know, taken off and they can't get to where they're going and they rent a car together or whatever. It was Planes, Trains, and Automobiles with John Candy and Steve Martin 1,000 years ago. But people have actually done this in real life before. I would rather do it with a group of people I knew.
Yeah. If you're with a fun group, like, that's an adventure you're up for.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah, no, that's definitely cool.
Your unintended destination. Where did you set off to go to, but where did you actually land? More Americans than ever, definitely since before the pandemic, are traveling for the 4th of July week, and there's been a lot of delays and a lot of weather issues across the country already.
I mean, I couldn't believe it yesterday when I got home in the afternoon. It said something like there had been 1,800 cancellations or delays already. And I was like, how?
Yeah.
Like, what is happening?
Yeah, all over the place. So my husband, just happened to him. He was flying in. They tried to land. They couldn't land. He landed in an airport 2.5 hours away that where he was supposed to land. How about you? What happened to you? 1-800-330-9999. Ellen?
I was intending to go to Sydney, Australia, and then between L.A. and Sydney, we lost an engine, so we had to stop down in Tahiti for a day to get that, you know, fixed.
Oh my gosh!
It turned out to be a great day.
Right.
It turned out to be a great day because it was. I wouldn't have done it because I wasn't so adventurous. But it was me, and then a guy from Canada, and a guy from England, and then this girl from Adelaide, and we rented a car, and then we just drove all around the island, kind of exploring and looking for the black sand beaches and stuff. So it was fun.
And you got another engine.
That's
also a big plus. Right. Got a new engine. Right.
Owen, what was your unintended destination?
Saskatoon. I know it sounds weird, but we ended up in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. I was flying over the northern part of the U.S. and something happened, and they had an issue with the plane, and all of a sudden we had to take a right and divert to Saskatoon. It was very, very cold.
That's Canada, and, right?
Yeah, oh yeah. I was not a. I grew up in a warmer climate, and I did not want to be in Saskatoon any longer than we had to. I had to spend the night in a hotel, and then we flew back.
That's interesting, right? I mean, does everybody have passports? Do they keep you at the airport? Like, that's a, you know.
I think because it was an emergency situation, they just, you know, shuttled us to a hotel by the airport and didn't really ask a lot of questions.
That's exactly what you would want the authorities to think in a big heist movie starring Bruce Willis or Steven Seagal. Yeah, definitely.
Getting diverted in a different country.
That's cool.
Mm.
Buy one of them hats. Furry hats.
Is that the only thing you know about cold weather Canada?
Nope.
No.
Canadian bacon. Yep, the Mounties, Gold Rush with Parker Schnabel. Great show.
They all have horses.
Yep.
Maple syrup everywhere.
Oh, love,
love
it.
Hockey.
Just
love
runs
it.
Like a faucet everywhere you go.
Yep. Wyatt, where was your flight diverted to, your unintended destination?
Atlanta, just because it's huge. I was going to Chicago to Miami, and there's a storm down there, so they had to pull over to Atlanta. And Atlanta's huge. There's plenty to do, but we were taxiing in Atlanta because it was unintended for like an hour and 45 minutes. And then we finally got into the airport, and we were there for 7 hours or more. And I read my book and I wandered around and I ate at like 3 different places because I just had nothing to do. It's a huge airport, so I just wandered.
Do you ever leave the airport when you go to an unintended destination?
I wouldn't. Depend on the airport. You know, everything is kind of a certain distance from the airport. And you never know when you get diverted. A lot of times you're on standby, so you don't know when the next flight is coming. You're hopeful it's going to happen relatively soon.
But if they put you on a flight and it's like 7 hours away, like if I was in a city that I'd never seen before, but like, oh, well, I'm here, like, let me go. I think I would still be afraid to leave. It's like I'm being held hostage by the airport. Right? Or no?
I don't know. It could just be as simple as you're alone in a strange city where you haven't been before. Plus, by the way, you know, it's not like the airport is making sure that the hours that you're going to be there are peak tourism hours. So what are you really going to see? They got Chick-fil-A right there at that airport.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about. And then it's up for you to decide who's right. Wow, well, this is exciting. Jade and Parker, you guys are going on a big European trip this summer.
Yes, we are.
All right.
It's going to be so exciting.
Okay, Jade, where are you going?
We are going to Croatia, Greece, and Italy.
Okay, so what's the problem?
Well, I have been researching and planning for years at this point, and my lovely husband really just doesn't want to book our hotels.
Parker, why?
I've never been overseas, and I don't know if anything's good or bad, where it's based solely on reviews, and it's going to be fun to be able to go somewhere completely new and you know, find a local or find someone that knows of the place or see a place that we know where to stay at and then stay there. Like, well, we need to be there to know what's good. So I just kind of want to wing it and be spontaneous.
Wait a minute. So you want to get on your flights and go and have nowhere to stay, basically. You just want to, you know, figure that out once your boots are on the ground?
Yes, that's what he wants to do. It's insane to me. I don't even know, like, how this is even a conversation that we're having. Like, I've done all the research. We're going to end up sleeping on the street. Like, what if we get there? Everything's booked up. It's a popular time to go. We want to stay in great places. All the great places are going to be booked up. It's June. We need to do this now.
I mean, I got to think that that's probably a real possibility, at least in some parts. On the other hand, I'm sure there's hotels where you can find a place to stay. I would think that you're going to pay more, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you'll end up paying less, right? Because online, you're right. I mean, you're just reading somebody else's information.
So it's funny because when we go to Italy, my dad doesn't book hotels.
No.
He, like, this is how he grew up and what he does it. He goes in, he asks to see the room first.
Yeah.
They show him the room, and then he negotiates a price with them. Now, keep in mind, my father is from Italy,
right.
So he speaks Italian.
Fluent.
So it's like, it's his first language.
Right.
So he's able to speak to them and all that. I don't know how I would feel about going to another country where I didn't speak the language and having to do that.
Yeah, that would be a little nerve-wracking to me. Plus, you know, the other thing that I'd be worried about, listen, if you're going for 6 months, you know, this big trip that you're taking and you've got unlimited funds, then that's one thing. If you're going for, let's say, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, and you're going to these three different locations, I mean, how often do you have to spend half the day figuring out where you're going to stay, right? Are you in your phone then? Are you talking to somebody right on the street? While it's exciting in some ways, it might limit me in others. I don't know.
I know, but there is something exciting about, like, seeing a place and being like, I love this town. I love this view. Let's stay here.
Let's just stay here.
Right.
Right. It's something that you would never do unless you were doing something like this.
Wow. That is a big debate. Well, let's see what the audience has to say, because they may agree with you, Parker. Why plan it? Wing it. Have it be an adventure. See what you stumble upon. Maybe you'll fall in love with the place, you know, but they may see Jade's side too. How are you going to travel halfway across the world and have nowhere to sleep?
Yeah, where are we going to put these bags? What are we, you know, what are we doing? All those basic things. 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Imagine you plan this dream vacation you've been waiting for so long. You're going to Italy, Croatia, and Greece. You and your husband have been talking about this forever. Pandemic's over. You can finally go. You're going this summer. Here's the problem. Parker doesn't want to book any hotel rooms because he thinks they should wing it and wait till they get there and see where they want to stay.
Yeah. Maybe I'm a clown. I mean, Las Vegas? Sure. Thailand with a buddy? Absolutely. Traveling anywhere with my wife? Gets a lot more risky.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I just know that she's going to have a certain amount of stuff with her. I'm going to need somewhere to park this stuff.
Yeah, that's what Jade says. Jade says, I've done the research, and no, we're not going to wing it. We're going to book these places that have good reviews online so we have a place to go, and we're not sleeping on the streets when we end up in these countries that we don't even speak the language.
For sure.
What would you do? 1-800-330-9999. Anthony, whose side are you on?
Well, actually, both. A different story. We actually did, but we went to Santorini, the island of Santorini. I took a girl from there, and we actually booked a room. But when we got there, we realized the hotel across the street, which was on the cliff and just beautiful views, we ended up getting there, taking the room, and then lying to the lady to leave. And we had an emergency. We had to leave. We booked a room across the street on the cliffs with a much better view. I don't know if that makes any sense.
But what if they saw you?
Yeah, right.
They're like, wait a minute. Emergency.
Wait, aren't you supposed to be at your grandmother's funeral?
Well, no, that's pretty much what we did. And then we lied and said that we had to leave for an emergency. And then we did see the lady throughout the course of the week. And we did feel bad, but I ended up marrying that girlfriend, so it all worked out.
Oh, well, there we go. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court. Imagine booking your dream vacation. You're finally going to Europe. You're visiting Italy, Croatia, and Greece. It's all booked, the flights, and then you go to book the hotels, and your husband says, nah, let's wing it. That's exactly what Parker did to Jade. He said, I don't want to book the hotels. What if we get there and there's a better hotel across the street, or there's one down the street, or we fall in love with one? Let's just wing it.
I mean, that sounds really cool. Again, to me, it's all like, you know, how much time do you actually have, right? How much money do you actually have? Because I'd be afraid that I'd be shut out of the places that I could afford or the places that I truly wanted anyways. And of course, that first day, how discombobulated are you going to be? Where do we put our stuff?
I know, but that's such an American thing. In Italy, this is common.
True.
I mean, what do you think? Would you go to another country without having your hotels booked and just wing it? 1-800-330-9999. Jason, whose side are you on?
I'm on the husband's side. I went to Costa Rica. I flew there. I got off the plane. I had absolutely no plans whatsoever. I spent a month there, and I had the absolute best time of my life. It was amazing.
Where'd you sleep?
I talked to people when I got there, and I stayed in hostels the whole time.
Right.
And so my brother got there right after I left. I paid like $8 a night. My brother was paying like $250 a night, and my places were better than his.
Wow.
All right.
Pretty cool.
Thanks, Jason.
Yeah, if you're doing that bohemian backpacking type thing, but my wife would definitely have her hair dryer and at least 6 pairs of shoes.
Hi, whose side are you on, Joe?
I'm on her side, so I would book it and tell him he can wing it.
Yeah.
You're on your own, kid.
Yep, that's it. I'm sleeping in the bed tonight. I don't know what the hell you're doing, but good luck.
Ann, what do you think? Whose side are you on today?
Okay, I've been to Europe 5 times, and every time what I've done is I've gotten one of those boater books if they still have it, and I like bed and breakfasts, so I've always booked the first night. And then I just ask the locals what they recommend going forward. That way I'm not tied down to a certain area because I kind of like to explore. Mind you, they speak English well. Mm-hmm. So like Croatia, I wouldn't be, that I'd be a little worried about. But Italy, I wouldn't worry about, or probably not Greece as well. That's what I would do.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Jade, our audience agreed with you. Parker, as much as the adventure sounds awesome, it's also very scary not to have planned where you're going to stay. And that kind of stress during such a big trip like this may ruin it. So book the hotels in advance. Jade did the research. Go with it.
I mean, it makes sense. So, all right.
I mean, at the very least, you guys would have to have contact with Airbnbs or whatever, right? That way you had a place to fall back on. I share the sense that the adventure might be fun, but the practicality is a little bit harder to implement when there's two of you.
Listen, when you get home, we are booking these trips immediately. We are booking all of our hotels tonight.
Fair.
Well, there goes that.
If you have a problem, too, send an email. couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $2,700 thanks to Sherwin-Williams. Ask Sherwin-Williams and save 30% on paints and stains June 30th through July 10th. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Marissa, you ready to play?
Yes.
Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you please leave the room?
You got it. Good luck, Marissa. All
Thank right. you.
So, Marissa, here's the thing. I'm starting to feel like I made these questions too easy today, but that means that you should get all of them, okay?
I hope so.
All right, Raven's out in the hallway. He can't hear us. I'm going to ask you five pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. He comes back in, gets the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready?
I'm ready.
Number one, Jennifer Lawrence said the rumors are not true. She did not cheat with Liam Hemsworth while he was married to what famous pop star?
Miley Cyrus.
Number two, Diageo, the spirits company, is cutting ties with Sean Diddy Combs. What's the name of P. Diddy's vodka brand?
Ciroc.
Number three, Madonna has postponed her upcoming tour because she was hospitalized with a serious bacterial infection. She will make a full recovery. What's the name of her postponed tour?
I don't know.
Number four, Major League pitcher Domingo Herman threw a perfect game last night. There's only been 24 perfect games in history. He pitches for what team?
The Padres.
Number five, Chrissy Teigen and John Legend welcomed another baby boy via surrogate. This is 5 months after Chrissy delivered their last baby. How many children do they have in total now?
Four.
Let me bring Raven back in.
Yo.
3 out of 5 for Marissa.
Not incredible, but not terrible either. Let's see how I do. $2,700.
Maybe they weren't as easy as I thought. Okay. Number one, Jennifer Lawrence said the rumors are not true. She did not cheat with Liam Hemsworth while he was married to what famous pop star?
Miley Cyrus. And who would? Because Miley Cyrus strikes me as dangerous.
The thing is that she did say she did kiss him,
mm-hmm.
but it was way before they were ever together.
Yeah, I mean, they were making Hunger Games.
How do you not kiss Liam Hemsworth? I mean, like, he's gorgeous.
I'm sure all the producers were like, go ahead, just kiss each other.
Number two, Diageo, the spirits company, is cutting ties with Sean Diddy Combs. What's the name of P. Diddy's vodka brand?
Ciroc.
Yes. Number three, Madonna has postponed her upcoming tour because she was hospitalized with a serious bacterial infection. Luckily, she's going to fully recover. That's what they say. What's the name of her postponed tour?
Celebration.
That's right. Number four, Major League Picture, Domingo Herman threw a perfect game last night. There have only been 24 perfect games in history. He pitches for what team?
Plays for the Yankees. It was only the fourth for the Yankees.
Yep. And number five, Chrissy Teigen and John Legend welcomed another baby boy via surrogate. Now, this is 5 months after Chrissy delivered their last baby. How many children do they have in total now?
I think that makes four.
That makes four. All right, Marissa, I'm sorry. 5-3 today. That's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
My name is Marissa, and I can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl. $2,800 tomorrow, Anna.